This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Welcome to a Joycast from Joy 94.9. Visit joy.org.au to find out more about our Joycasts.
When you're good to mama, mama's good to you.
I turn to you like a flower leaning toward the sun. I turn to you, 'cause you're the only one.
And when I fall down, I have to pick myself back up. And when I fall down, I have to pick myself up. Stand up for the champions, for the champions. Stand up, stand up for the champions, for the champions. Stand up.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome and happy Boxing Day. It's Michelle Barber and you are listening to Stand Up Straight, where we aim to provide a vehicle for the straight and allied supporters to stand up for our GLBT&I community, to encourage and create greater inclusion, share stories, give advice, create dialogue or introduce a new way of thinking. But most importantly, we want to facilitate change towards greater acceptance of our rainbow family in all its shapes and sizes. In the next hour, I'm going to be joined by a co-host and a guest. I want to thank Chris and Cam for Drive again, and Patrick, a new voice for news at this time slot. So I'd like to introduce my co-host, a very quiet man that we might have to try and drag some conversation out of, Mr. Dean Akuri.
I am a bit of a wallflower, aren't I?
You are. I know. Is that often a word used to describe you?
I don't think it is, no. Of the many words people use to describe me, I'm pretty sure that doesn't come in.
So shortly we're going to play a piece of audio that moved me tremendously throughout this year. Sammy Cameron is joining us now as well.
Thank you for having me today.
So we were just going to have a quick chat about what Christmas Day was like yesterday, and did we eat too much, drink too much?
Did I eat too much?
We got leftovers out there.
We didn't get leftovers. My family was very organized this year. It was very contained, very controlled. We don't know how it happened. We had a big...
By accident.
Well, because normally I go home with trays upon trays of things, and this year there was nothing left.
What?
I think they just... It was economically handled in the third course, the dinner course. Everything got cooked.
Is that right? Well, because I've got desserts, and how many Christmas cakes and pies and mince tarts do we have to eat? Really?
Well, I try to avoid all of them. It's a chocolate ripple cake or nothing for me. I love me some chocolate ripple cake.
Well,
now you know, Michelle.
Okay,
now
so
you know.
Next time. So is it a big thing for you, for your family, Dean?
Chocolate ripple cake or Christmas?
Sorry.
Because chocolate ripple cake Christmas. Yeah, I got together with all of my mum's side of the family. Mm. We spend Christmas Day together, and there's a lunch and a dinner. And what seems to happen is people that double up, so they're going to an in-law's house or somewhere else. We all seem to be together for the crossover in between bits, which is great. So we're all there, and we played cricket a la Neighbours, the intro of Neighbours.
What were you doing?
I took pictures of people playing cricket and put them on Facebook. I was a little bit hungry. Over, but you know, so it's good fun and it's family time and everyone's tired. I had three naps. It was great.
Nana naps, we call them.
They were massive nana naps for me.
Well, I actually dangled my feet in a pool, which was a bit nice.
It was the perfect weather for it. It was really lovely.
It was a bit hot though, too hot for me. And Sammy,
Well, Christmas is a bit different for me. I don't really have much in the way of family. However, it actually turned out to be an awesome time for me. I spent Christmas Eve with my make-believe family, my own sort of friends and that sort of stuff, and that was a lovely evening. My daughter spent the night with us as well. Beautiful. And she came out on her first, like, gay party. She's 15.
Oh, nice.
And she got to hang out with, she was the only straight person at the party. There were probably about 15 or 20 of us, and it was just lovely for her, really, really fabulous for her. Everyone thinks that she's such a lovely young woman, and she is. And she had a great time. And she stayed overnight with us, and then the next one I got to watch her open a present. And that was just a really, really lovely thing for me to be able to do this year. So I was expecting Christmas to be a really tough time for me. And in actual fact, it turned out to be really quite sweet. So,
do you know what I've noticed here at Joy? That people have different types of Christmases, I think. And there's lots of different ways to celebrate it or to do. People have a lot of different types of family. Family is no longer... Yeah. In a traditional sense, yeah. You know what I mean? So there's always either someone that, you know, you bring along with you, or you go and you create your own family.
I do have a gay family. I think that's the best way I can word it. There's your close friends and there's the people that are important in your life. But I do have like a gay family that's just an extension of my family.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I agree.
And I think they're better than actual family because we get to pick and choose
pick
who
and
they
choose
are.
Them. That's true.
You know,
that's
we get
exactly
to like
right.
them and we actually look forward to seeing them and spending time with them. And we don't have to just see them during Christmas.
Now, speaking of picking, I have picked and chosen this piece of audio because it was, Sammy, the most inspiring, interesting, fascinating and moving piece of radio that I have heard. I don't know if I've ever heard in my life. So the reason I wanted to play this is we're coming to the end of a year, a really interesting year for lots of people. And please, everyone out there, sit back and listen to a phenomenal person's story.
Just put your paws up, because you were born this way, baby.
My worst kept secret. Yes, I am transgender. In technical terms, my gender identity, gender presentation, and gender role is female, but my original biological sex is male. My sexual orientation is female, so I identify as lesbian, although I'm starting to use queer to identify myself more often. And with that comes a whole bunch of anxieties, most of which are unfounded, but that my brain refuses to be rational about. I like to get to know people well before I decide whether I'm going to tell them this thing about me. I really want people to assess my suitableness as a human being based on what you see and not on the fact that I'm trans. And whilst it is my right and my right only to decide whether someone should know this about me or not, this right has been taken away from me by countless others. Yes, maybe it's kind of cool knowing a trans chick, trans dyke, trans woman, etc. But as my public profile increases, it is just getting too difficult to limit who knows this about me. So if you didn't know or weren't sure, now you do. Anxieties just won't go away. My previous name shall not be seen, spoken, written, said, or heard. Being misgendered, using the wrong pronouns, especially by people who knew the old me, is insulting and awful, and any discussion of medical stuff that may or may not have happened to me is out of order, unless I say so. My kids have lost their dad, and I'm not their mum. The older two decided that loss should be permanent, but my youngest one has decided that life will be more interesting having Sammy in her life, and I think she is a greater person for that. I feel really loved and accepted everywhere I go, and by almost all of the people I come across. The fact that I have passing privilege really does make my life much easier and simpler than those that don't. Being short was just luck, I guess. My crazy red-haired decoy works a treat, and hormones have had a dramatic effect on my body and soul. I'm lucky to have lived two successful lives and have gained considerable life skills from both of them. My biological family has always been a problem in one way or other for me, from the youngest age I can remember. I feel that they should be proud of my achievements, my social conscience, and my willingness to actually go through with my transition. I think they've missed out on something pretty awesome. In the end, it is mainly their loss. I've moved on, and whilst I occasionally feel resentment towards them, I am the happiest of all of them, so I win. I want to inspire others. I want to show that when you want or need something really badly, that you can do anything at all. It might take persistence, experience, time, planning, strategy, hard work, energy, an understanding of how people think, mentors, role models, research, loss, and many other things. But in the end, when you achieve what you set out to do, your life and the life of others you touch can be much more rewarding than you could ever imagine. It was decided for me by others that I wouldn't make a good trans activist. There are many good people doing this. I will only ask you to keep in mind that every single trans person that you come across is different in almost every way, so generalizing is almost impossible. Trans people are each sensitive about things unique to them. You now know mine, so take note that you don't breach these if you don't want me to bluntly confront you on them. Now I'd like to ask you to forget that you heard this. I'm not Sammy the trans chick. I'm Sammy, the queer woman with the bright red hair, a good person leading a wild, interesting, very full and happy life. There is a huge amount of information available if you'd like to educate yourself on some more issues.
Welcome back, everyone. You're on Stand Up Straight. Wonderful piece of radio was Sammy Cameron. And the first word that comes to my mouth is wow. How do you feel hearing it back, Sammy?
I guess it's a little bit, well, when you set out to do things, sometimes you don't know what all the ramifications of those things are. I guess there were a couple of reasons why I chose to do this. One was to empower myself because I was sick of hiding behind the fact that I was trans in the queer community, and there were some people that knew, and I needed to be able to tackle that, some of the people that perhaps don't like me because of being trans. So the first reason was to empower myself. The second thing I wanted to do was to inspire other trans people. Mm. I wanted to let other trans people know that, hey, life can be pretty good. Mm. And if you just take a step back and look at the world we live in and just try to be positive and plan and do stuff. I mean, being trans is not a simple thing. You do have a lot of work to do to pull it off successfully. But when you can, and once you've done it, it's actually really good when you get to the end. I think what I wasn't expecting was the huge amount of positive feedback and how inspirational it appears for other people. And the shock, in a pleasant, the pleasant shock that people had.
Do you know, the question I've actually just written, I wrote down early before rehearing that, it says, do you mind being called an inspiration? That's actually what I've written down. Does it? How do you feel about that? Does it bother you? Do you like it?
Look, I try to be humble in my life, but I've also been quite successful at a whole bunch of things too, and I don't want to downplay those things.
No.
I'm just a human being, and I have an open mind, and I have an IQ, and I can communicate some things really well sometimes, and I'm good at communicating things about myself and how I feel and my observations of the world around me. So, look, if I inspire people, if that's a good, positive thing, then that I've achieved one of my goals that I set out to do, and I'm really happy about that.
I think one of the things that makes it really interesting, like you do say that it's been decided by other people that you would not make a good trans activist.
Yeah.
But I mean, thank you so much for doing this. So you played it for me when we were at breakfast one time, and I was like, wow, it's really wonderful. And I think what's really interesting is the messages from this. I feel like I've gotten more out of your grab, like not mentioning medical things to a trans person, asking the questions unless they initiate it, all those kind of conversational things that until I kind of heard that, I thought, yeah, that is actually quite rude to just assume that just because a person has told you that they're trans that you can just ask them whatever you want. It's not really your place, is it?
Well, look, you know, I've made it pretty clear, and I'll be pretty blunt with people. Yeah, you can ask, but you'll get a pretty unpleasant response about any of those particular topics, and I'll just be firm about it. I'll say, no, I'm not telling you.
But it's just even the common sense factor. I think that's what I really take from your message. I think one of my favourite bits of it is when you go, I'd like you now to please forget it because this is just who I am. Mm. And there's so much in that. There's so much in that, that you just don't realise until you hear it and you think, yeah, that's true. You know, that's... You,
you know, I wake up every day and I do think about my gender. I don't think that most people in the world actually think about their gender every day, but I do. But then I try to live most of my day with and just forget about it. I like try to live a functional, normal life. I mean, the past couple of weeks I've been working so hard, you know, on a project I'm doing for a customer. I haven't had much time to get out and play like I normally do.
Yeah.
So I actually just try to have a normal life and I don't try to think about it too much. Try not to dwell on it, and I'm just happy that I'm just allowed to be who I want to be now, and I don't care what anyone thinks, you know, I'm just going to do whatever I want to do.
One of the statements that you made is that you have two successful lives. I love that. Why that statement?
I was really, in my first life, I guess pre-transition, I was quite successful in business and quite successful at playing the, you know, the heterosexual life that you're supposed to do. You know, I was married with kids and house and boats and cars and money and all that sort of stuff that you're supposed to do. And I was successful from a financial perspective. Where I've been successful in the second life is actually in my my relationships with human beings and the types and quantity and people that I know in my life and the love that I feel from all of the people that I associate with. And it's much more fulfilling and much more rewarding. Human beings that is have infinite value compared to things. I've spent a lot of money and I've lost a lot of my money and wealth and all that sort of stuff. I don't care because I've got all these gorgeous, beautiful people in my life all the time, every single day. Mm. I'm so guilty I can't keep up with them all at the moment.
So guilty. So
I do. I feel really guilty.
Why do you feel guilty though?
Oh, because look, I have a positive effect on my friends.
That's a great thing. Yeah,
but there's a few of them I haven't been able to see for a few weeks, and they need some Sammy
they
love.
Need some Sammy time.
They need some Sammy love. You know, Sammy hugs and Sammy love
blame
and Sammy
it on
giggles.
Christmas.
Yeah. I blame it on my project work. Actually,
have people's responses surprised you? You said earlier on you kind of felt
I think some of the things that I was surprised about are the people that didn't know about me that I thought did. I was at a regional event, I won't say where, and I met a trans person that I'd actually met once before. And, you know, we had a few chats and stuff and caught up quite a bit. And she listened to the show a week ago and was completely shocked. She had no idea. Mm. And I thought we were having a conversation that sort of indicated that I actually knew quite a lot about trans stuff. I didn't actually say that I was as such,
she's
but
well educated.
Something like that. So, you know, and I think there's been quite a few people around Joy also that I was quite surprised that didn't know, and that's a nice thing for me. Mm. It's nice for people not to think that thing about me and judge me about it or whatever it actually happens to be, assess me in any different way. But I love the power that I now have because I can now get on the radio or I can get on social media or whatever it is, and I can talk with a air of credibility about me when it comes to transgender issues. And I'll never always be completely right about stuff, but I can still talk with a lot of credibility.
Yeah.
And I've been, I think I said in one of my interviews on Joy a few weeks ago, I mean, I've been researching transgender information on the internet since 1995.
Jeez.
I've been an early technology adopter, so I've had lots of time to read everything that was ever published at certain points in time. I know a lot about it. I know lots of different people's journeys and experiences, so, and that kind of helped me when I finally decided it was time for me to do this.
Yeah. I just want to thank you, Sammy. It's a tremendous honour to have you for you to say yes, and also to have that played. I really don't have the correct words, but I just have a lot of admiration, and I want to thank you so much for inspiring for me and inspiring people that would not normally hear these types of stories. I think it's vital that we encourage this dialogue constantly on Joy.
So let me just tell you one thing. This is Stand Up Straight. Yeah. And I hope that we have a few straight people listening.
There's a couple.
I hope so. But one of the things that I just wanted to point out that may not be completely obvious to people is that my sexuality's never changed. So I've always loved women.
Yeah.
It's never changed. It's my gender that's changed.
Yeah.
And often, you know, the majority of people in the queer world, it's their sexuality that's the thing that's different about them from the straight community. But for me, it's my gender that's different.
Yeah.
And so often some people, you know, people sometimes that aren't familiar with transgender, people think that maybe that's their sexuality is changing at the same time.
Mm.
But, you know, I was heterosexual. I've changed my gender and now I'm a lesbian and I'm queer. Yeah. And I just thought that was an interesting thing to point out. It's a difference, and it's a very different thing.
That's correct. That's why we need to keep this dialogue coming so that people do get it a lot get it right in their mind instead of thinking they understand.
And look, and I always will always have a responsibility for the rest of my life to educate people.
Yeah.
I can't expect other people to understand me. I can't expect other people to understand what transgender actually means and is. It'll be a never-ending educational process for me to explain it to people. When I go to whatever new environments I find myself in the future, you know, I'll have to out myself again at some point when I think it's appropriate, when I think it's going to be useful for the people around me and the people that I'm interacting with. But,
well, thank you.
Well, thank you for having me on. I much appreciate it.
That's our pleasure. Thank you for helping educate the big wide world. You are on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Michelle on Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9. She's my mum.
Hi, everyone. This is Michelle Barber. You are on Joy 94.9. And happy Boxing Day. And for all those people who have pounded the pavement in the shops and everything, I hope
you're
crazy.
Home.
Well, they're just rich, maybe. Yeah, I don't know. True. Got lots of money for Christmas.
There were a lot of people out shopping today, weren't there?
It was insane. I sent my mother back to a shop, actually, because I wasn't sure if I'd get, Mum, can you go back and get this for me? Isn't that, that's bad. How amazing, Dean, was that?
Oh, that was
to hear
wonderful.
It again.
Yeah.
Have you heard it
I actually, Sammy played it for me the first time I heard it, and I was gobsmacked. Like, it's just, it's so powerful, and it's a really wonderful message.
And I wasn't very...
It's hard to articulate, isn't it?
That's exactly... And I feel I've not done her justice, but it's an emotion and a feeling I have when I hear that. That I cannot put into words, and I just don't have words. Amazing, she's phenomenal.
It's such a powerful message, and I think it's also really, really great how she's let us know that it's just her message.
Yes.
Everyone else has their own message and their own story, and she is just letting us know hers, and it's wonderful.
Yeah, she's beautiful. Speaking of messages, we've had a couple come in. Colin from Heidelberg, thanks for playing that again, and. He used the same word. Wow, that's absolutely spot on. Thank you, Colin. And we've had a message from Stephen. Great to hear you guys discussing Christmas and family. I totally agree that the family that you choose can often make for the best day. This Christmas was absolutely wonderful. It wasn't about presents that you unwrap. It's about presents, as in the people that are there. And that is absolutely true. We had a couple of people that had never been... to our place before,
we had a bit of an
orphan's Christmas. Yeah, and I'm a bit actually a bit funny about the attention that it's got because it's not what the intention was. But it was really lovely to have people there that may not have had somewhere else to go. So it was
lovely.
Had a bit of a swim, as I said. It was good fun. It was really good fun. So, Dean.
Yes.
What do you do out there in the big wide world of GLBTI social life?
So many social. Ridiculous things. The main thing is I'm the Melbourne editor for samesame.com.au.
And that is?
For those that don't know, that's Australia's number one gay and lesbian website.
Yes.
And, I kind of look after Melbourne and take a lot of photos as well, which has me running around like crazy, snapping pictures all the time and always pounding the pavement and having my ear to the ground, which is lots of fun. I've just about a year and 4 months into that role.
Wow.
It's been a really intense first year. I've got to say it's been really great. It's really interesting when you look at our queer world through a different eye.
Do you see it differently?
Oh, absolutely.
Than what you did, you know, 2 years ago, etc.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even just how I looked at the media, like I would always approach it and look at it at, like a performer. And now I've got to look at it from a completely different point of view and look at news and stories and things that people tell me. And it is really interesting being part of queer media in Australia because there's the mainstream media and then there's the queer media. And yes, we're an online media. So it means sometimes a story could be about the fact that Lady Gaga grew some armed hair, you know what I mean? And that could be
Did
breaking
that actually
news.
Happen?
And but it's also been a really interesting year. There's been in Melbourne, especially, I really love Melbourne. I think I'm really lucky. When I look at Melbourne's little queer world, we are quite spread out.
Yeah.
There's a lot of variation to it. That's a lot of levels and I love it. I'm still finding out more and more all the time. Like, I'm trying really hard to...
That finger's waving.
I know, my finger was waving. I don't know why my finger waved at you. But, I mean, it's kind of easy for me to cover the gay side of things, but the lesbian and trans, and there's intersex as well. Like, there's queer, there's so many different letters, so I don't want to let any part of the rainbow feel left out. But I'm really trying now in my second year to go, okay, I want to make sure that I'm representing all the other different colours of the rainbow as best I can.
Yeah. And you write, you interview, you
find out, take photos, news stories, what's on, the what's on section.
Have you found that it a bit of a challenge perhaps if you've had people that you might know socially and then all of a sudden you've got to be out there at an event, you might have to interview them. Does it make you approach things differently?
It doesn't for me. I've always done a lot of podcasts and I've like been on Joy like this as well. And I'm always trying to make sure that I'm communicating with people in the best way I can. Like, I think more importantly, because there have been times where I've had to interview or talk on a professional level with people that I also deal with socially. And some people can draw a line between those two things. I just walk in handling myself in a professional manner.
Yeah. Would you consider it almost like one of those dream jobs?
If it paid more, sure.
Hello, widow.
Look, I consider myself really lucky. Yeah. I studied media and I never studied journalism or anything like that. I feel really blessed to be doing this job. And every day, I think every week I get frustrated with myself because I always feel like I can do it better. I've never felt complacent about it in any way. And it's quiet during Christmas as well, so I feel like I could be doing a lot more.
I thought it'd be busy for you.
It's up and down. We're heading into midsummer, so I'm trying to enjoy the quiet before the storm.
Well, actually, we are actually going to talk quite a bit about midsummer after. I want to actually read a message that's come through just right now, and then we're going to have a song, and then we're going to dive into midsummer.
Love
and we're going to have a look at some of the... The show, there's a phenomenal array. People might think Midsummer's just song, dance, lots of Kylie and a bit of partying and that kind of thing. And that is definitely true.
It is
there's
an
nodding.
Accurate statement.
But there's sports events,
there's a lot.
Theatre.
And the 2014 program for Midsummer is, I think, the most eclectic I've ever seen.
Isn't it? Yeah. So we've teased people, I know. So we'll come back and chat in a minute. But I just wanted to, before we go to a song, Matt. This is from Andy Kay. Hi, Stand Up Straight crew. Sammy's words were broadcast originally just before I did a news read on that day. She made that task difficult. Not only was I inspired, proud and educated, with a capital E, I was also elated for her, flabbergasted at Sammy's courage and reassured for others facing similar issues. That was truly a story of hope and a display of integrity. And I could not have put that in better words.
That is brilliant.
Yeah. So you are on Stand Up Straight with Michelle Barber and Dina Currie.
Hey, this is Matt, and I'm a producer at Stand Up Straight. And as a gay man, I've never pushed a woman's buttons.
We're pushing real good.
Until now. You're with Michelle on Joy 94.9.
You are with Michelle on Stand Up Straight. Welcome back. I have had a really lovely message in. Hi, Michelle. Loving the show as always. I love that you open up the dialogue on so many important issues. And that's from Chris. Thank you, Chris. And a special hello to Maddie from Chris.
Woo!
Woohoo! Do you like that special dedication to you, Matt? Did you? Yes.
With all these button pushing.
All these buttons. I've got the lovely Dina Currie.
Hi.
It's nice to have you. We're going to talk about Midsummer now. Has there been something that's jumped out at you and grabbed you by the throat and said, come on, see me?
There has been quite a lot. I do remember the original plan when we talked about this. I was like, I'm going to tell people my top five things for Midsummer that aren't things that I'm in and that aren't premier events. And I could not narrow it down to
it's
five.
It's really hard, I know.
It's like I said just before the song, this next year's Midsummer, I think, is the best program I've seen in years. I think it's really exciting and eclectic, diverse. There's a lot of really interesting things, especially out west.
Yeah.
The Go West program is really great.
Yeah.
Just got to cross a big bridge and river to get there. But it is a really awesome collection of things.
Yeah.
So, well, you're asking me what things grabbed out and jumped out at me?
Okay, let's get the obvious out of the way. Come on, what's your show
okay,
called?
Okay, so I'll quickly touch on the Dina's of Midsummer. So
what's it called? Sorry, what's it called again?
Antipodean,
okay,
a little
clever.
Cabaret. Mm. We're not here to toot my own horn. So I'm doing Antipodean, a little cabaret, three nights over at the 86, and it's me and Stuart the Stuart, a character I introduced a few years ago who was on Lawrence Long's Choose Your Own Adventure, and we're going to battle it out to host the show, and I don't quite know how many outfit changes I'm going to have yet, but I'm going to look fabulous.
It's not going to stop at one, I'm sure.
I'm also doing a geeky dance party, Shazam, ooh, a cosplay and cocktail dance party.
Yeah.
Before the Australia Day weekend. And I'm also doing a trivia cabaret night, hosting a trivia cabaret night with Dolly Diamond, the gorgeous Dolly Diamond down at the Eureka. And I'm also hosting Midsummer Mooning at the Laird.
I'm just not going to talk anymore. Just out of curiosity, can you do a Dolly Diamond impersonation?
Oh, crap. You'll see me on Hell in a Handbasket.
That's good.
I'm going to get in so much trouble now, aren't I?
I think I've actually made you blush, I think.
The minute I did that off air during the commercial, I looked at both your faces and thought,
know,
you're going to trap me. I'm in trouble
well,
now.
We'll get you straight out of that quagmire.
Dolly's going to come and get me.
Can she run in those heels, though?
She
you'll have
run.
To run real fast.
When you cross Dolly, watch out. She'll stab you with the heels.
So, okay, what's the one or one of the shows that you really liked? And like, was it an unusual choice that you had?
Well, actually, this is one that I was really excited for. I actually saw it when I went to Adelaide for Feast Festival. It's In Vogue, Songs by Madonna.
Ooh,
and it's starring
like
Michael Griffiths. I know. Ooh. No, it's amazing. It's an absolutely wonderful cabaret show full of Madonna songs. And Michael Griffiths plays Madonna.
Oh.
And he's there with his teacup and a pot of water and a piano, and it's absolute heaven.
Why is it so good, do you think? Is it unique, that one?
How many times have we heard Madonna songs?
A lot.
The way in which this music has been arranged and the way in which the show has been played, it is so relaxed and comfortable, and it makes you re-embrace everything you loved about Madonna. And you know what? He's just performed over in the UK, and he's just coming back and bringing it back for Midsummer. He's also doing an Annie Lennox one that's also on my list to see. But this, and I love Annie Lennox, but because I've seen, I saw in Vogue a month ago in Adelaide, I couldn't recommend it enough to people.
Do you think if you weren't a Madonna fan, you'd still like it?
You can't not tap your feet to these songs.
Yeah,
you can't not. Did you think I was going to say you can't not be a Madonna fan? Is that why you're laughing? You can. It's okay. But it's songs that we all know. Like, it's Madonna. We've grown up with her for ages. Exactly. So everyone knows it. I can't remember him doing Hung Up, but he does do Borderline and things. It's just really fun and lovely. And I love a show that reimagines. That's one of the reasons why I love cabaret, because of the way in which they reimagine music and restyle things into a way for people's ears, and I love that.
Yeah. Now, we touched on before, I think you said there was a sports
one. Oh, yes. Very exciting. This is Team Melbourne's Midsummer Sports Day.
Oh, which is...
This is a whole day of sport, and the reason why, I mean, this has happened every I think, the past 2 years. It's where there's been a whole day where there's all the different queer sports in Victoria, and they're all there, and it's great for the whole family. It's free. It's
so
a
do people come out... Will there be... You know, trestle tables and
I think there's games. There's trestle tables and things like that at Carnival. At Carnival Day, there's an actual part that's allocated for the different sporting teams. And it's well worth going there and having a chat with them all and finding out what you can. It's a lot easier sometimes than trying to find the information on the net, I've got to say. It's easy to literally go and chat with the people from the teams or the captains. They'll tell you a hell of a lot more.
But you can learn about the people that go there. You're getting that one-on-one conversation rather than trying to find it on the internet. It's a lot more personal that way, going to talk to people and you get to hear their excitement about
it. It's a funny thing because sport is something that we all love. Sport's something that we all enjoy. Doing it, some watching it from your television.
Yeah.
And quite a few of these different people who I've chatted to, like for example, from the Melbourne Chargers, when I talked to quite a few of them at the awards night that they had recently, and a lot of them, it was their first year with it. And I was like, well, what made you want to do the Chargers? And, you know, I expected to get the whole showering with the blokes. I love tackling into a fella, all that kind of stuff. But a lot of them actually were just like, well, I wanted to try it.
Yeah.
I was surprised how many people just went, I've never played rugby before. I just thought I'd give it a go. And they're playing on the team. And that's really great. And of the Spikers, there's also another one who I see the guys from the Spikers around all the time, the volleyball team. And there's water polo. There's tons of it.
I don't think people realise what's actually out there.
There is a lot. And it's a good way to, you don't necessarily have to play. you can go and watch these
support,
teams play.
Yeah, that's right.
And this is what's good about the sports days. You can go along and watch. You can help be involved. You can be a part of something without necessarily being the person on the
and
court.
And I dare say they need volunteers as well to help out.
Someone's got to pass
things.
Around
Someone's
the oranges at half time, don't they?
And towel people down and all that kind of stuff.
I will volunteer to towel people down, don't you worry about that.
There's a few volunteers. Yes. And what else, Dean? There's a whole array of things.
I do. There's
through.
Quite a bit. The visual arts is really exciting this year in Midsummer. There's one thing I do want to touch on it. Art by Gallery, there's Toonorama 3, Revenge of the Toons.
Toonorama.
The past 2 years, Brett Willis has done his own little character tours of pop culture characters. Last year I bought a Wolverine. He's also done some iconic drag queens around Melbourne and people like Alan Mabry, who's a lovely man who takes photos at the GH every weekend. And Toonorama 3 Revenge of the Toons, he's doing a pop culture exhibition of different iconic pop culture characters down at Art Boy Gallery.
What would the example of that
be? Well, on the visual, we've got Freddie Mercury and Wonder Woman and Han Solo in little drawings. And he does these sexy, gorgeous little drawings of these characters. And I just love going and watching it. I love going down to Art Boy Gallery and looking at the different
works. Which gallery
works. Is it? Art Boy Gallery in Greville Street. It's a great, funky pop culture gallery. I'm a big pop culture geek, so I love it a lot.
You do, don't
and
you?
The past two Midsummers, he's had the gallery decked out with his work, and it's been really exciting.
Mm.
So that's really good. But there's this really other interesting one called Ready to Square.
We have to take a break in a minute. Sorry.
I'll be really quick.
Go.
This just excites me. It's handkerchief pockets as art, different screen printings and things like that. And it's actual handkerchiefs. That's the artwork. That's Ready to Square.
So what do they people have these little.
Well, I don't know the size of them. It doesn't specify, but the actual artwork is the screen printing on the handkerchiefs. I think that's really exciting.
It's going to interest a whole lot of different people.
Well, it's a different kind of art.
The thing is, this Midsummer is about bringing a variety of arts and cultures to everybody.
Absolutely.
So we're going to take a little break. You're on Stand Up Straight with Dina Curie and Michelle Barber.
Did you beep that out, the word sex? I hope so.
Parents in the room.
I wanted to shock my mother.
Oh, he's getting all hot and flustered. I hope Grandma's not listening.
Oh, Grandma.
This is Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Hi, it's Michelle. You are on Stand Up Straight. We've got Dina Curie.
I hope Grandma's listening.
Grandma listens. I think she... What will we call her? The number one fan? Or the number one ticket holder or something? Is that what you get if you're with a footy club?
She's got Stand Up Straight t-shirts and hats at home.
She's got a tattoo, Stand Up Straight.
Love it.
A neck tattoo. No, that's not true.
No, that's too much.
We're talking Midsummer and you found it very, very hard to narrow it down, I know.
I couldn't narrow it down. So I had a real trouble with it. So I'm gonna fire out some things that just... I took a squeeze through the guide and things that threw themselves out at me. Yeah. Now, there is the lesbian comedy night.
Yeah.
Go and check that out. There's nothing funnier than a woman with a microphone.
Hello. Look at me. I'm hysterical.
Another very exciting show is Finnegan and Smith's Caravan Burlesque Rides Again.
Ooh.
Now, if you have never seen Moira Finnegan and her travelling artists, you're crazy. Go and see it. I saw them perform it for 45 Downstairs this year, and these women are just not only it's burlesque, it's true burlesque, and it's not only beautiful and gorgeous, but they are so talented and entertaining.
So why does this stand out? What you say, true burlesque? Why?
Oh, look,
is it so
I think
different?
A lot of people saw the movie Burlesque with Cher and what's her name, the blonde one, and Christina, and think that's what burlesque is, and there's burlesque is an art form. There's a way to performing it. There's a way to integrating with your audience. There's a way to the visual. There's a way to the style. And these women embody it brilliantly.
Do you think that burlesque now, it's almost like there's been this overkill and this dumbed down version of people, the true essence of burlesque is lost?
I feel there is a watered down version of the performance style that has floated around, but the true burlesque is there in Melbourne. People just have to look.
And this would be a great example of it.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
And sexy and wonderful. I am a gay man.
No.
And I know I'm shocked.
Has anyone seen your t-shirt? Your
I'm in a bright,
today?
bright, colourful top. But these women are just hot to trot. And it's absolutely fantastic. And there's a couple of other cabarets
You've got
as well.
Excited.
There's Drew Downing Rebel. I saw Drew Downing's show last year with his band. And man, can this guy sing.
Yeah.
Absolutely fantastic. He's performing at the Butterfly Club. He's there
I
for a whole week. And he is great with his band and he's just awesome singing and hot and it's
what
great.
What sort of music?
A mixture of rock music. Like he actually did some songs from Dirty Dancing and I was just dancing with my sister. We were dancing like crazy listening to it. It was so much fun.
You finally came out of your shell, didn't you?
I'm such the wallflower. Another one I'm quite excited to see is You've Got Mail with Michael Dalton.
Oh,
Michael
People
Dalton
might be familiar.
Might be familiar him. With who he is. He you probably might be more familiar with his alter ego, Dolly Diamond. He also does Dalton's, the Royal Daltons on Wednesdays here. And he is doing a show that's all about him performing as a man and his history, because he's performed for years, a variety of different things. He's an old hat at it. And his show's going to be looking back at his life. Now, I also saw him just sing as himself as opposed to as Dolly. And man, I mean, we know he can sing as Dolly, but when you have him, it's completely different. It's such a joy to watch when he's just there with a microphone. At the time, he did have a glass of wine as well. And it's so wonderful to watch him sitting there and sing. It's a joy. And also there's Without Me, I'm Nothing by Jonathan Duffy.
Oh.
He is the award-winning director of
The Doctor's Wife. Yes.
And a very, 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 very funny fella.
Very. And a very snappy dresser as well.
Man, can he dress?
Can he dress?
And if you think his dressing is snappy, you should see his tongue. The man, can quip like you wouldn't believe. Yes, and he's doing a comedy show, Without Me, I'm Nothing, at the Revolt Melbourne Art Space.
I'm looking forward to seeing that. There's Oh, you've got more.
Well, there was one more, and it was another visual art. And it's Shifting Grounds. And this is one of the people in this artwork is one of the artists who was just nominated, got life membership with Midsummer, Matt O'Lucas. And
can I ask, how does somebody get life membership with Midsummer?
Well,
do you know?
Well, the Midsummer, I don't. I would go assume the Midsummer board, they nominate people every single year. And it's people who have made a substantial commitment to Midsummer and to being a part of it.
I might actually find that out.
I'm guessing, so I don't actually know. Yeah. But he does some great work every single year, and he has gotten a collection of artists together, and they're all doing work, what's called Shifting Grounds. In order to find ourselves and to find meaning, we travel distances only limited to the physical constraints of this world. And it's quite deep and intense, and when you've got some really great visual artists like that, they can come up with some amazing work. And this is just a sample of
guide. For those of you out there, I urge pop into Joy and get the Midsummer program, which has got these spectacular bright colours on. But it will fill up 2.5 weeks. Is it Midsummer?
It starts on January 12th and finishes on February 2nd.
And Feb 2nd is Pride March.
Yeah, and there's also some shows, and there's a couple just after that as well. There is so much on. You can grab the guide here at Joy's reception. You can get the app, or you can get the Midsummer app on your smartphone, or there's an iPad one, or go to the Midsummer website, midsummer.org.au.
Thank you, Dina Curie.
Thank you.
This has been Stand Up Straight with Michelle Barber. Up next is Spirit Lounge. Enjoy Joy. She's coming up next. And good night, everyone.
Take a look at our Stand Up Straight page on the Joy website. Head to joy.org.au, click on the program grid and select Stand Up Straight for our blog and podcast. Stand Up Straight on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 is a GLBTIQ community radio station in Melbourne, Australia. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.